Well, hello again. If you fly a drone, whether it's for work or pleasure, odds are you don't give too much thought to the coding that's running reliably in the background. And really, that's the way it should be, an invisible, seamless, painless experience. But depending on what you're flying, there's a name worth knowing and a story worth listening to. That name, Autyrion. My name, Scott Simme. And the show's name is The Buzz. And I'm joined today by Dave Sharpin, the CEO and chairman of the board of Autyrion GS, and that GS stands for Government Solutions. Dave, I'm hoping that we can kind of dive into the Autyrion story a bit today, and I thought perhaps we could go back to 2008. And I understand way back then there was a student project involving drones by someone named Lorenz Meyer. Could you fill in some of the background about who Lorenz is and what they were doing?
Sure. So Dr. Lorenz Meyer did start this sort of ecosystem of drone infrastructure back in 2008, as you talked about, when he was a student at ETH in Zurich. And really what he was trying to do was create the tools so that he could do computer vision work, because those tools didn't exist. And his team in his postgraduate work needed a vehicle to be able to communicate with, and an air vehicle to do that. They needed the communications infrastructure to do that. They need a flight controller to do that. And none of those things existed in sort of open form. And so what happened is subsequently they built what we know today as PX4, which is our flight controller, PixHawk, the flight control hardware, the ground control software, and really made it open source. And today those products fly on over a million drones worldwide. And so it really all started there as a graduate student. And over the years, the subsequent 10 years before Autyrion was started as a company, Lawrence and others started Drone Code, which is a Linux Foundation project to both create and upgrade and distribute the software openly. It was in 2017 or so that he and our co-founder, Kevin Satori, felt that this needed to take a next step and be more business-focused as opposed to more developer-focused. And so they decided to start Autyrion in Zurich. So Autyrion's really a software company working to develop software for enterprise use cases, for commercial customers, as well as defense and other government customers as well. And that's kind of how the whole thing started. Autyrion Government Solutions is a part of that overall enterprise with Autyrion in Zurich, but we're really focused on the government market exclusively.
I've worked at a startup, so I'm familiar with PixHawk and PX4, but I'm surprised to hear this because it seems like the seeds for Autyrion were really sown quite early on in the drone industry when you think of, you know, the development of this industry. Is it fair to say that?
It is totally fair to say that. You know, we tend to think we're a two-year-old company, but we've been on a 12-year journey. Basically with the same mission overall. So that's very true.
Now, I'm not a computer guy, even though I spent 3 months in university studying computer science. But my understanding is that when we talk about open source, we mean that the source code is freely available and that access allows for collaboration, even from people, if you want them on their team, they could be on the other side of the planet. How do you define open source and what does it really mean when we're talking about the drone world?
Right. So it means what you just said. That's one piece of it. But it also means open standards that are published for interfaces, for the way software is developed in this open source community, as well as how we interface with customers and bring their software in and allow them to work with it. So there's sort of a developer persona to open source as well as a user persona to open source. And so one of the things we've done with our customers today is allow them to bring their code in, but still have it protected within the open source code that we have. So that could be done through APIs or plugins or other things. So, you know, when we say open source, we want to be able to work with our customers who may have code that truly is their own and proprietary, but they're hooking into the open source code itself.
In looking at the Aterian website, I came across a quote where it says, "Aterian is the drone platform built for government customers that powers any drone with the software, payloads, and seamless workflow integrations required for government drone operations." If you were to put that in the simplest language, how would you describe what that means?
I think what that really means is we're creating an ecosystem of payloads, air vehicles, software, AI, artificial intelligence, and autonomy that are building blocks that our customers can use and develop further. So for the government, you know, one of the things they don't want to get locked into is sort of vendor lock. And that's much the case on not only systems that they get and procure, but also the software particularly. And so there's been a push over the last, I would say, 5 years plus to sort of, I would say, own the software. And I say that in quotes because it's a shared responsibility between industry and the government. But what they really want is to be able to modify and grow what they have over time without throwing it away every time. In other words, they buy drone X and they get software X. They can't use that for other drone systems because it's proprietary. And I think that's where we come in. And that's really a really good tie-in to Blue SUAS. And they're trying to do basically the same thing. So DIU, which is a customer of ours, and we built a QGC version for them. They're really trying to build essentially the same thing, an ecosystem or building blocks for drones that are applied to for the government. And the five contractors that are part of Blue SUAS basically all use our baseline QGC software code. They can make modifications to it, and they do to personalize it to their systems, but it has one base set of code.
So the five vendors who all have different drones that are on that list of Blue SUAS, they're all using this open source code is it for the operation of the drone itself? Is it, what is that code doing?
It really is for the operator to operate the drone system and connect with other workflows that the government has. For example, they might want to have a separate ability to take images and stitch them into maps, which is very common. And so our workflow needs to work with that other piece of software and workflow as well, which DIU has developed. In the future, that could mean operating with code like ATAC, which is the Android Tactical Awareness Kit, that allows operators to take one drone, get its data, and put it onto another system so they can have situational awareness. So they have all these different things that they would like to do, but still have a common code base that not only they know is controlled and configuration managed and tested and cyber secure, but also something that they, being the government, could modify as well if they so choose.
What does this mean to me? Let's say I'm a purchaser and imagine that I have bought three of the five drones that are listed on the Blue SUAS site. Does this give me some advantage in terms of having sort of a common thread of software between these very different vehicles?
Yes, it does. So let's take if you're three different vendors and three different operators on the government side. You could take those three drones and operate them with the same ground control software effectively and have confidence that they'll all work, that they'll all work out of the box, and that you don't have to go to brand X software to control one or brand Y to control the other. And I think that's the real power of it. There's an additional power to it as well. Beyond these three offerings, it could be a different platform altogether. Let's say it's a VTOL platform that is flying the same software. So if you're a government user and you're out in the field, you could have multiple UAS of different types and still fly them with the same common infrastructure and same controller. And that helps, obviously, with the execution in the field. It also helps with training. You only have to train one time on one variant that has the same look and feel every time. And that's very powerful.
On the one hand, we think of open source as being open and accessible. On the other hand, when we think of the military or government agencies, we often think of them as being somewhat closed and having kind of, very guarded, secretive sort of software and technology. Can you tell me how, open source in this sense doesn't mean insecure and that there's sort of a difference there? If you could maybe expound on that a bit.
Yeah, so when we do our builds for the government, obviously we do go through all the steps to make sure that we don't have any leaks in the software. It does go through cybersecurity testing on the government side to make sure that there's nothing untoward there in terms of things getting out, information being shared. I think one of the main things on the government side, they usually operate in closed networks. So, they're using data links and other things that are closed. But that doesn't mean our software doesn't work. Our commercial customers are a different breed. They typically use Wi-Fi and things like that, so things are shared. So there are different protocols we go through with the government to ensure that their information is secure. And it doesn't change because we base everything on open source. Their standards are their standards, and we have to adhere to their standards. It's how we work with them in terms of what can be open, what can be openly shared, and what really needs to be protected. And that's the important part. And they have various things that have to be protected, and we work hard with them to do so.
Now, code, whether it's for a drone or a camera, is constantly being rewritten and improved. Firmware updates are just really, really common with certainly a lot of the products in my house. I saw on your site that, and I'm going to quote here, the whole flight stack goes through an average of 1,000 test flights per month, which few companies developing closed source flight software can match. So when you're talking about these flights, are these carried out by Auterion itself or by the partners who are using the code, who are doing it in many different places?
It's actually both. So we do flights here in California. We do flights in Zurich. But we also have partners that do flights as well. And we encourage that. We want people to do that. In fact, the part of the Blue SOS, we're actually doing flights right now on the East Coast. We'll be traveling there in the first part of November to do more flights and get more flight time and more exposure. So it's a bit of a community that creates those over 1,000 flights per month for us.
And one of those partners out there is FreeFly, which released its Astro drone recently. And I understand that was a partnership of sorts with Auterion. What was Auterion's role with that drone?
Several different things. So Astro actually flies our next generation controller, which is really an overall avionics module, which we call SkyNode. So they basically took our reference design for the flight controller, the mission computer, and the networking, and developed their own customized hardware piece that goes into Astro. That's one thing. Second thing is they're flying our flight control stack, our PX4 stack, on that piece of hardware. And third, flying our ground control software on the ground. And actually, I just forgot one. Fourth, they're also using our cloud suite, which allows them to log flights, troubleshoot, and additional things. So we have really four elements that we're doing with FreeFly, and it's a great partnership. We've been at it for over a year. We did this sort of jointly the initial market research of what Astro should be and where, what niche it would fill both commercially and on the government side. And we're just sort of pleased as punch that it's starting to come out into the environment. And it's the response has been, quite good for FreeFly.
Obviously, lots of work going on day after day with software. But when I think to the PX4 you just mentioned, piece of hardware, flight controller, how does Auterion make the determination as to when you should jump into designing and building hardware?
Yeah, really, the decision is when we see a roadblock to our software. And that sounds short and a little flippant, but it's true. And what we saw with the current flight controllers were out there, there were a couple things. One is they didn't really have that mission computer back end and networking that we really wanted. They're just flight controllers. And so we needed to go beyond that for the missions we're seeing today, both the standard enterprise missions we're seeing, surveying and mapping and that sort of thing, but also the future missions that we see that will build in autonomy into the flight stack and artificial intelligence into the flight stack. So that was a key discriminator or key reason for building a piece of hardware as a software company. The second thing was sort of the things that we were seeing from the U.S. government in terms of NDAA and DOI, they're, grounding the fleet. And we really need to get to sort of a trusted module built in the USA and controlled in the USA, and so we could supply that to our government customers. So those two things sort of came together in Skynode. Taking a different look, we have our SkyNav controller, and that's something we offer as a bundled device, hardware and software. And sort of the same story that we were seeing there, we saw that we needed more capability out of a controller. We needed it to be very rugged for our government customers, as well as our enterprise customers as well, some of their use cases. But we also needed something that was NDA compliant. So we decided to come out with a piece of hardware, even though we're a software company.
There has been, and you just touched on it, with the Department of Interior grounding its fleet. But there's been a real shakeup recently in the drone industry. We have the DOI with its ban of Chinese-made drones or drones carrying Chinese-made parts. Now we have a list of the 5 U.S.-made drones, the blue SUAS list, that are more or less the favored choices now for certain government applications. I'm curious, obviously there's I don't want to say an elephant in the room, but there's the largest drone manufacturer on the planet, DJI, based in China, that has traditionally been one of the suppliers for many of these departments. What are your own thoughts about this change and evolution heading toward U.S.-made drones, and do you think it's fair to a company like DJI?
So I'll kind of take this apart in pieces. I think that it's fair that the U.S. government put requirements and restrictions on what they want. I think that's totally fair, and that's the way it's been since the Defense Department began. They have their own requirements, and we follow those requirements, and we want to match up with those requirements, and we want to provide not just an alternative. And I think I could speak for the whole U.S. drone industry, not just an alternative, but better products going forward. So I think that's fair. I think that, my personal view of DJI is they build great stuff. And I think anybody would say differently is fibbing a little bit. But right now, where the U.S. government is, they're looking at national security and elements that might not fit into their strategy and saying this is the way we need to go. And, we want to be there to support them. We'll see how geopolitics plays out in the next 10 years. I think from an Auterion standpoint, we want to compete on a level playing field no matter what it is. And, we want to hold ourselves up to DJI and say, look, we're not only doing as well as them, but better in everything that we do. And I think that's a healthy thing.
I'm not familiar enough with all the little bits and pieces that go inside drone products when they're manufactured to know where there might be little loopholes or where there could be data security leaks. But I guess the thought just occurred to me now, and it may be a crazy idea, but supposing that DJI, or let's just say another company called ABC in China, that is the second largest producer of drones on Earth, let's suppose they came to you and said, you know what, we're willing to hand this over to you in terms of the software platform so that we might be able to satisfy some of the concerns that have been expressed by the U.S. administration. Do you think there's any sort of room or potential for that kind of possibility, perhaps even just with a single product going forward?
Yeah, I guess my short answer is maybe, and I say maybe because I think on the commercial side, that may be the possibility. I think reading the government regulations right now that I've seen, the answer would probably be no. And that's not because I want it to be that way, it's just because it is. And so that's kind of the way I see it. And I think that we'll find out as we go forward past the election, and that sort of thing, you know, where things will go. But right now, we want to be compliant with, you know, what the government is asking us to do.
Understood. Now, if we step back a little bit and looked at the industry as a whole, and really this amazing growth rate and technological evolution that we've seen over the past decade or so, you know, we've seen more sensors coming online, more capabilities. We're seeing companies like Skydio working very intensely with artificial intelligence. When you look out on the horizon, where do you see things going? You know, every year it seems like, wow, how could drones get better? And then they always get better. What do you see coming in?
Yeah, I think that in some ways there's been a ton of progress, but there's a lot more to go, because I think that the evolution of AI into our products is going to be a step function change, in my view. And we're really just sort of scratching the surface. You know, when we get to the point where drone systems, and for that matter, all robotics, are intelligent agents operating in the environment with humans, we will have made a step change. And so right now, basically, systems are flown with sort of teleportation, right? You're operating a controller, you're sending something out, which is extending your senses in some way, whether that's visual or auditory or RF, but you're basically just extending the senses of the human operator. I think as we go forward, though, what I see, and I see what I see as the promise, is that these vehicles and the overall systems will function either autonomously or semi-autonomously in the environment, and they will work to optimize what the operator wants. In other words, if we're trying to optimize our view of some particular aspect, the drone will get close to that object and then optimize what it's doing, as opposed to the operator trying to finagle it. And I think that is one of the big things. I think the next thing is sort of the networking of these devices together, and sort of the whole being greater than the sum of its parts. And I think we're really just scratching the surface there of having, and I'm not even talking about swarming, I'm talking about, you know, three or four drones operating together to perform some mission or some enterprise application. And I think that's the thing that makes me excited about the next 10 years. And, you know, really getting that cognitive ability into the edge processing of the drone versus all the cognitive ability having to come from the operator.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. We're getting close to wrapping up, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't put you on the spot. Do you fly a drone? And if so, what are you flying and why?
I do fly drones. And I'll be totally honest, I started out with a Mavic 2 Pro to learn how to fly. Today, I'm flying other drones that we produce here with our ecosystem partners as well. But that was my real first drone that I operated. I'm not ashamed to say that.
Is there any product out there, if money were no object and a manufacturer were just to say, sure, Dave, I'm going to let you take this for a month or two and play with it, what's caught your eye at the moment?
The Astro. I'll be parochial. We're awaiting delivery of our first Astro here, and I can't wait to fly it, literally. Because I see that it will be a change in the environment, both commercially and for the government. And I've seen my partner in crime, Tab up at FreeFly, fly them many times, but I want to get my hands on the sticks.
Nice. Is there anything that we have not touched on that you would like to add?
No, I think we've covered a lot of territory here, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. I think these events are important to sort of get different perspectives out there. I obviously have a different perspective from my background, mostly working with the government over my past 35 years. But, you know, sort of the sky's the limit in what I can see bringing commercial technology to bear on the government side. And I think that through organizations like DIU, we're getting the opportunity to do that. And I think that's a great thing.
We did pack a lot in. And in particular, I appreciate your thoughts looking forward on the role that AI and networking will play in the future, because I agree. I think that is where we're headed. So Dave Sharpin, CEO and Chairman of the Board of Auterion GS, thank you for joining us today on The Buzz.
You bet.
Great conversation and a lot of great insight. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly learned a few things here, and that's the point. If there's something worth knowing about in the drone industry, we'll cover it on The Buzz. I'm Scott Simme. Please subscribe to the podcast and you won't miss a single episode with an industry leader. And if you're one of those leaders and would like to join me on an episode, just shoot me an email, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at dronedj.com. That's drone and just the letters, dj.com. Fly often and fly safe.